Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Matt from flipweekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast, a podcast all about going to thrift stores and garage sales, finding items to resell online for a profit. Now, usually I would talk about what I bought and what I sold this week, but we need to get into a bombshell. Australia Post has dropped a bombshell and we need to talk about it. So if you're within Australia and you're in a MyPost business member, you would have received an email this week with the subject line, slightly terrifying, saying temporary partial suspension of postal services to the United States. Oh, and Puerto Rico. Now, the email goes on to explain what is happening, but essentially, we can no longer ship to the US at all. Unless, of course, you're sending non-commercial goods. If you have a nana over there and you want to send a letter. If you're sending anything that's a commercial good, if you go to Australia Post right now, you cannot send it. The email says, as a result of the recently introduced changes to the import tariff requirements set out in U.S. Executive Order 14324, which I read, Australia Post has joined a number of international postal operators to temporarily suspend partial postal services to the United States and Puerto Rico, effective immediately until further notice. Now, this is huge. I cannot remember this ever happening before. It may have happened, but this is crazy, you know. If you're an international shipper, the US is such a huge market and it can make up a large amount of our sales. For that market to just cease right now until further notice, you might be freaking out. You might be wondering what is going on. Can it be explained to me? Well, I've read through the executive order. I've gone through the email. I've looked at the explanations. And you're not going to get much information from me, okay? I'm not the one to be dissecting this, but I'm going to try and at least explain it in the way it makes sense to me, right? So first of all, I ship internationally. I give myself a pat on the back every time that somebody from, say, the United States buys an item from me because they're paying such a large amount in shipping that I think, well, this must be a good item that I'm selling if they're willing to pay an extra $50 to $100 on top of the already high sale price that I'm listing it up for. So I think it's a good thing that somebody from America purchased my item. You know, in this year alone, in 2025, it's only August, I've sold and I've shipped out 27 items to the United States. Now, I know that isn't a lot. People would be thinking, oh, wow, you're shipping out tens of items. It isn't a lot. It's around one item per week. My average sale price is around $147. So extrapolating that to the entire year, it's just under $8,000 worth of revenue. So having that removed for the foreseeable future, it's a blow. Right? It's a blow. It's $8,000 not in my pocket. And this sort of temporary halt, it's going to be affecting small businesses, eBay sellers, resellers, anyone that ships regularly to the United States. So why is this happening and what does it mean? Right? So I'm not going to get into politics. I'm not going to talk about any of the reasons why the US government thinks this is the right move. But basically, they announced in an executive order that they're putting a tariff. They're slapping a tariff on virtually every single country. A tariff is essentially a fee that United States citizens are going to be paying. Now, the explanation that the US government has said for why they're doing these tariffs, it's threefold. So if you read the executive order, they state that the US has a trade deficit with a country, or in the case of countries like Canada and Mexico, those countries, quote unquote, not doing enough to stop illicit drugs. So drugs pouring into the United States from Canada and Mexico. That's one of the reasons why they're getting slapped with these tariffs. The other one is bad actors who are writing low values on the goods that are going into the US to basically circumvent duties and taxes and fees. So what that means is that if a person from the US buys an item outside of the United States, they're going to have to pay an additional fee. For example, for Australians, if an American was buying from Australia before, the fee would only occur if the item was valued at over $800. Now, it doesn't matter how much it's valued at, they're going to get slapped with an $80 fee. So if they're buying from you, they're going to pay the original purchase price, they're going to be paying the shipping, and then no matter what, they're going to be paying $80 on top of that. So the US wants that fee, but they want that fee before the item is even sent to the country. Before it arrives in the country, they want that fee. So in this case, Australia Post, they're not set up to handle that. They're not set up to handle this sort of collection of fees because logistically it's tricky, right? The Australia Post doesn't have that sort of presence in the US. They're just not set up for it. So in the meantime, they've halted all of these shipments. They're fucked. I mean, we're not fucked, but it's going to cause a lot of trouble. Australia Post sent out an email and they explained all of these changes, and they also included a bit of information on what's going to be happening in the future. And they sent an updated process for what will happen with sending to the US, and they're going to be integrating with a company called Zonos.com. Now, Australia Post says that any future US parcel will have to go through Zonos. I think that's how you pronounce it. And that's a third-party platform that collects import duties up front, something that Australia Post obviously cannot do. Now, I tried signing up for it because Australia Post is recommending everyone sign up for it because you're going to need it sooner or later. But for me, it was buggy. It was frustrating. There was, you know, I come from a web development background and I could see that like certain text input fields didn't have proper styling. I could see buttons that had hover effects that weren't being enabled. I was getting web application errors. So I couldn't sign up today. Hopefully it will stabilize soon, but I'm just going to chalk it up to, you know, launch day, or at least they got recommended by Australia Post today. So they would have got a lot of traffic. Maybe they're, you know, facing a few issues there. But with all of that said, if you're relying on US buyers, you're in for a tough few months. And if you're in the US, you're going to have to be prepared to pay a lot more if you buy from Australia, if you even can buy from Australia. And that goes for a lot of other countries too, because a lot of countries are ceasing shipments to America because of this logistical problem of accepting the duties up front and paying America before it even arrives in the country. And I just have to think, like, what is the end game with this? Because as I said, the executive order says that Canada and Mexico, they're explicitly named for not doing enough to stop drugs going into the US, which is fine. Like, you might be able to make a case for that. Who knows, right? I don't know enough about it. But for us Australians, it's because we have a trade deficit with the US. Now, the executive order, not to bore you, but it says countries with an effective tariff rate of less than 16%, $80 per item. That's what the duty trade tax fee would be, right? So Australia falls into that category. So because Australia, we're a country of 27 million people, because we buy less from the USA, which is has a population of 340 million, US citizens are going to be charged $80 per item to make up that difference. Like, the idea is, it's like, make it make sense, right? I guess the idea is to discourage people from buying overseas and try and keep the money within the country. Like, the issue is obviously nuanced, right? And I don't want to get into the politics, but I don't see how this is going to work, right? And I think the people it's going to be negatively affecting the most, they're going to be the US population, right? Like, they're paying more. It's a tax on them. So what do you think? I don't know. Let me know in the comments. Write in. Tell me what you think. it's not good news. It's not good news for us sellers. It's not good news for buyers in America. Is it good for manufacturing or small business in America? I don't know. It's yet to be seen. I really don't think that sort of mass manufacturing is going to go back to the States. But either way, that was not a nice email to wake up to this morning. I honestly can't believe that we can no longer ship to America. If you have relatives or somebody overseas that you regularly communicate with, don't stress, because you can send non-commercial items to the United States. You can send your letters, your little care packages if you need them. They just cannot be commercial in nature. They're still subject to whatever import duties and taxes that have always been associated with them. So you can still do that, but it's just anyone that is selling on eBay, for example, like us. So that's really all that we're concerned about. So it just really, really sucks. Like I said, usually send at least one item per week over to the US. They're not going to be buying from me anymore. Maybe they'll circumvent it somehow. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward and whether or not this continues on forever. If maybe the US government will change their mind. Maybe our prime minister will meet with their president and offer to carve his face into Uluru. I don't know. That should get rid of the tariffs if that happened. But anyway, that is enough negativity. I want to talk about what I bought this week, and I'm going to blow your mind with another insane find. Honestly, while every other reseller, they're looking at video games, they're trying to compete, try and find video games, we're going to be turning around. We're going to be looking down another aisle, and it's for something that's just as fun and might even be more profitable. I'm going to talk about that. I'm also going to talk about a Facebook Marketplace pickup. And this was from a seller who literally wrote in the description that they were terrified of what they were selling. Terrified, literally terrified. So we're going to get into that. And then we also have secondhand opinions this week. My thoughts on banning a specific minority from op shops. And you can always read the Flip Weekly newsletter for a text version of this if you don't like listening to my voice in the podcast. But look, what I bought this week, man, a fact that surprised me when I was looking at, you know, my sales data, when I was looking at all of that international sales and shit going to the US, I was surprised to see a different part of this. My eBay sales data shows that my number one category is books. I am technically a bookseller. I don't know anything really about books, right? Like, books, comics, and magazines make up 12%, almost 13% of my overall sales. And, you know, when I'm selling some of these books, I mean, I've had really good book deals in the past. Like, remember I sold that A Court of Thorns and Roses hardcover. That was hundreds of dollars, maybe close to $1,000. I sold those spiritual books in earlier this year, and I think that was close to $1,000 too. So I guess it makes sense that books would be my number one. I don't know. I didn't think that was going to be it. Like, I thought it would have been, I don't know, odd stuff. I don't know. But yeah, it makes sense, because this item is it's a heavy hitter, man. I was in a section of the thrift store. I was down the, I think it might have been the art aisle. You know, when you're in the book section, there's reference, there's education, there's romance. I was sort of in that area that was like reference and education / graphic design. And I came across 5 to 10 different books. And the books were, they were sort of video game related. Some of them were game guides. Now, they can go well. This wasn't a game guide. This was an art book. So I've talked to you about art books before. You will remember I sold Disney's Zootopia, The Art of Zootopia, not that long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, for $150 plus postage overseas. I think they paid over $200 for this book. This book that I found, it was an art book. It was called The Art of Oddworld Inhabitants, The First 10 Years. It might not sound familiar, but I'm going to play the sound right now for you. This was a video game released in 1997 for the PlayStation 1. It was an instant hit. One of the very first video games I ever played. I was extremely young and I had no idea what I was doing. But I still remember it. I remember it because it was a bit weird, right? This book, it's extremely rare. It's incredibly popular and it's so very valuable. If you still don't know what I'm talking about, if the title alone didn't give it away, here's a bit of audio from the game. And if you grew up around video games, you might remember this. Here it is.
Hello, follow me. Wait. I don't know. Okay, password. Oops, goodbye.
Now that is audio from the video game Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. Like I said, released in 97 for the PlayStation 1. Really, really popular. It follows the protagonist named Abe, and his job or his goal is to escape like this meat processing factory. Him and his friends, they're like enslaved there. They're on the chopping block. They realize they're going to be made into whatever meat they're serving at this sort of like processing factory, right? It's a 2D game. It's puzzle solving. It's stealth. It's avoiding enemies, getting through like complex levels. As a kid, I had no idea what I was doing. I really only knew to like press a button or two and the guy, Abe, spoke back to you. That's, I think, why that audio clip that I played is nostalgic for me, because I hear him say, follow me. And I'm like, oh, I remember that from my childhood. And yeah, I mean, if you grew up around video games, you'll know this game. So the book is all about the art of this game. The first 10 years from 94 to 2004, several games were released in this time frame. So it goes over, you know, the first game, I think the second game, maybe the third game. It's quite thick. It's a paperback book. All the textures in it, all the backgrounds, the artists, there's information on all of those people. And at the time of buying this book, we had one active listing on eBay and we had five sold listings on eBay. And I can't believe I'm going to say this number, but when I looked up the active listing, you're not going to believe it. You are not going to believe it, I guarantee. The active listing was for $1,159. Yes, over $1,000 for this book. So when I'm looking this up, I'm thinking, okay, well, I paid $5.49 for this book. If I could sell it for that amount of money, I mean, I'd be cheering, right? And, you know, you start to get that adrenaline inside of you. You're seeing like a book that's in your hands that's worth $1,000. And, you know, you need to check out sold listings. So my heart is pounding. I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm hoping that when I click, you know, completed listings, sold listings, that at least one or two pop up so I know there's a sell-through rate here, that I know people are buying these. Because, you know, it's all well and good to list an item for $1,000, but unless it's sold, no one gives a fuck, right? Like, it doesn't mean anything. So there's a split second there where I'm waiting and the adrenaline's pumping, and then I see multiple come up before I, like, close that sidebar. I see multiple pop up, and I'm like, oh my God, I've hit the jackpot. In terms of the sold listings, there was five, like I said, and there are multiple sales in the $500 range. Remember, there's only one active listing and that's for over $1,000. And I can see this is sold in the past 90 days for $500 multiple times. So here I am, I'm thinking, what am I going to list this up for? I'm not going to ask for too much money. I'm just going to ask for a cheeky like 100 times return. I'm going to ask for $500. I'm going to try and turn this $5.49 book into $500. When you look at this book, I don't see $500. I see $5.50. I see interesting information. Sure, if you're a fan of the game, I'm pretty sure you can look at the PDF online. I would not be spending $500. But there is a collector's community for this specific title, for this specific game. And usually when I find like an expensive item like this, I try and become like an expert at it. You know, I'll look at unboxings or I'll look at people showing the item on YouTube. I'll go to the subreddit and I'll see if anyone's talked about the book before. People have. people have mentioned that this was released as the original paperback. It was released in like a limited edition version, and they all range in different prices. And a lot of people talk about that, you know, I really want this book, but it's always listed too high. I can never find it. So I like to do that. I think that releases endorphins because I like to see people talking about like rare items that I have in my possession. So I list it up for $500. I do the calculated shipping, and again, I do the cheeky asking for postage, not free postage. It's like so sad, man. If I have a cheap item, you know, like I try and aim for a $100 average sale price, but if I have something that's like a $40 item, I'll bake the fucking postage into it, and I let the buyer get it with free postage. But for an item like this, I'm like, no, you're going to be paying for postage. Like, it's so mean, right? Like, just give these cunts, like, you're buying a $500 book. The least you can do is give them free postage. But no, not free postage. I'm sorry. $500 plus post. And I'll let you know how I go with that book. Make sure you look up Abe's Odyssey online if you haven't seen it. I'm sure you'd recognize the little Abe character, especially if you recognize the voice. Like, if you heard the voice and you're like, oh, I recognize that from somewhere, just look at the artwork, because the artwork stands out. I'm pretty sure it was like a big thing at the time. This game was like sort of revolutionary in a way. That's why it's still popular to this day. Now, in a different aisle in the thrift store, sort of adjacent, you know, I've been talking about the surge of physical media. Streaming platforms asking for more and more money. They're constantly raising their prices. It's silly to ignore DVDs, right? It's silly to ignore DVDs, Blu-rays, VHS. I've sold hundreds of dollars of VHS just this month alone. Same with DVDs. Blu-rays, not so much, but it's just because I don't really look for them. I'm sure if I looked for them, I'd be able to sell some of them. But if we take a look at the box set of DVDs that I bought this week, I picked it up for $5.99, and it's from a show called Outrageous Fortune. It's the complete collection of Outrageous Fortune. This show was a New Zealand comedy show. It ran for around 6 seasons from 2005 to 2010. And if we look at the IMDb description of the show, it says, when career criminal Wolfgang West gets put away for 4 years, his wife Cheryl decides it's time for her family to go straight. But can the Wests change the habits of a lifetime? You know, it doesn't really tell much, but, you know, I never seen this show before. I never seen it before in the wild. I didn't know that New Zealand shows make it across the Tasman to Australia, right? Like, I know the Kiwis, they love to consume our content. Is it really reciprocal, though? Either way, when you see an unknown show like this in a box set that's in the complete collection, and it's only $6, it's worth looking it up, right? So I look it up, and I mean, whoa, we have sold comps between $95 and $160. I'm like, okay, that's good. Let's check out the sell-through rate, because here we want to get things out the door quickly. We're not just looking at the solds and being like, okay, it has a single sold for $95, let's buy it. If I buy something, I want it out the door fast. So we need to compare the active listings against the sold listings, see how it adds up. And this is good. This TV show, Outrageous Fortune, it's sitting at a 90% sell-through rate, which means if you list it right now, it's going to sell quick. So the sold listings are high. We have minimum $100, and some people have asked for, and they're even getting over $150. So I'm not going to press my luck. I'm asking for $110. And I think I'm going to get it. The comps show that I'm going to get it. Now, like I said before, I'd like to try and become an expert on things that I sell. Not so much these lower value items, but I went ahead and I watched the most viewed Outrageous Fortune clip on YouTube. It's the Series 3 promo. Now, it went for about 4 minutes, and really without any other context, the only way I can describe this show, it's sort of like a Bogan Home and Away, but move back a time slot or two, right? Like, the promo is in contrast to Home and Away. Like, in Home and Away, you have lovers and people in relationships, they're holding hands in the diner, but in Outrageous Fortune, they're fooling around in the diner, right? So in Home and Away, Alf Stewart, he's screaming. And I actually looked this up to... I looked up Alf Stewart... what was it? Alf Stewart insults or Alf Stewart rage? See what he was screaming about back in the day. And this is an actual quote that Alf Stewart said on the show. He was screaming at someone for fuck knows... who knows why. He said, "Why you listen to me, you little carpet fluff?" So fucking scary, Alf. But, you know, in contrast, Outrageous Fortune, they're threatening people. They're saying, see how funny they think it is when a fucking hammer comes whistling out the dark at them. So it has that sort of like production value that's identical to Home and Away. They both have like ensemble casts. They could be intertwined. Like, I'm sure if you even looked it up, you'd be able to find like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon with these fucking actors. But yeah, I mean, if that show sounds like your type of show, give it a watch. Like I said, it's like Home and Away, but it's a different time slot, like a later time slot. If you've actually seen the show and you can describe it better, please let me know. This is just based off one clip on YouTube that went for like 3 minutes. And yeah, but if you see this show out in the wild, pick it up, because you're going to be able to turn $6 into at least 100. At least 100, I think. Now, the next thing that I picked up, I saw it on Facebook Marketplace for $50. And this is the item that somebody said they were terrified of. Okay? The item are these... Oh, they're not Funkos. Pop Mart. Pop Mart, I think, is the company that does Loop Boo Boos. And it was a box of 12 Teletubbies figures. Now, they're just plastic figurines. They're inside a box. I'm pretty sure you can buy these in, like, single packets. But this person had a box of 12. And they've said in the description, I'm going to quote the description for you, okay? They said, "Teletubbies figurines that were received as an unwanted birthday gift. Have not touched them since the Teletubbies terrify me. Please take them so I never have to look at them again." That's the legit description of the listing for $50. Now, I messaged quickly, but then I can never tell if people are joking when they say shit like this. You know when people say they're terrified of clowns? Or in this case, like Teletubbies, like it's an act, right? Like, are they, these people aren't serious. If they're, you know, are they serious? You know, I'm happy to admit that, like, I'm pretty scared of sharks. Like, I'm terrified of sharks. Like, if I see sharks in a movie, my hands would probably get a bit clammy, you know? And if I'm playing a game, like a video game, I don't play them often. But when I play a game, like there's Assassin's Creed when you're based in the Mediterranean, you can go in the water. I'm not going in that fucking water. I refuse to go into the water because a fucking shark can come along and, like, bite you, I guess. But, if I'm terrified, I wouldn't even say terrified. It's just, like, I don't want to be in the water if there's a shark there. I don't think that's too crazy, right? But if someone bought me, like, a shark figurine, like a shark toy, I mean, first of all, it's a fucking bad gift. But second of all, it's not scary, right? Like, I can toss that shark toy off my balcony in a fucking cockatoo's mouth. It ain't gonna kill me. You know, I don't know. I don't want to shame people based on their fears. But I don't know. The thing that you should be scared of, really, are those little fucking plastic pieces of junk that Pop Mart sell that could go to zero faster than you can offload them. Like, she had them up for $50. Like, that's my real fear. You know, these are going to go to zero before I can fucking sell them. So I bought the full box of Teletubbies figurines. They're each around 10 centimeters tall. They all have like wacky gimmicks. I knew full well that like this fad of like plastic junk sold by Pop Mart could die out before I sell them. But at the time of buying them, I could see like a single Tinky Winky figure. Tinky Winky was the purple one. It was selling for close to $60 and it had a 300% sell-through rate. So the numbers just made sense and I bought it for $50. You know, Tinky Winky's holding a lollipop. He's dressed like a clown. Ironically, he's dressed like a clown, yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, I mean, I'm sure I could sell these. I mean, yeah, the numbers don't lie. If we see a high sell-through rate, unless it's somebody artificially inflating the numbers, which, you know... People like to say that sort of shit. Oh, it's money laundering. It's not. I should be able to sell them. The box seemed to comp at around $200. So it'd be about 50 into 200. I don't usually like to buy things that are expensive, like $50 into 200. I'd rather get something for like 1 into 100, not 50 into 200. Four-time return is whatever. I did receive a message from somebody who wanted to buy just that one figure. I said no because I'm wanting to sell everything as a lot, but I'm just thinking, like, are they buying it because they liked the design? Or is it sort of like Pokemon cards and those Labubus where it's like seen as a commodity or it's something to trade, you know? At the end of the day, though, it's all fucking plastic junk. Like, they're not toys that somebody's going to play with. You know, they're not going to kids to play with. They're designs that are created and they're sold all within a year, like all within this year. And you can call me a hypocrite, right, for getting in on this, like getting in on the action. But it all just seems so depressing to me. It's just all plastic junk. And like, it's a toy line that might even be kept afloat by FOMO, by resellers like us, people buying and selling them. To be completely honest with you, ever since starting Flip Weekly, it's completely changed the way that I view collecting. Even things like this, people collecting these, it's soured collecting to me. I don't really collect things at all anymore. I didn't really at the beginning, but just the way that this shit is bought and sold, I don't like it. But anyway, if you want to see photos of everything that I bought, go to flipweekly.com. You'll be able to see all of the items. But now we're going to get into what I sold for this week. Now, there are weeks where I have too good of a time at thrift stores, garage sales, Facebook Marketplace, and some of those deals, they don't really make the cut for Flip Weekly. Like, I don't include them in the podcast, in the newsletter, and that was the deal for what happened here, like in the middle of August. So this month, I came across this Facebook Marketplace deal, and I really couldn't pass it up. It was $50. I messaged really quickly. I was one of the first. It was this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles bundle. The listing said TMNT, assorted figures, players, vehicles. There was a decent amount of photos too, which was good. There was like 6-7 photos. There was some still in their packaging. You could see the individual figures, the play sets. There was a lot there. And for just $50, I'm thinking, you know, we had an entire box. And they all appeared to be early 2000s. There has to be some value. It didn't take me long really to like do like the mental math, and I just worked out, you know, that there's a lot more than $50. You know, it isn't the ultra rare, valuable vintage TMNT from the 80s, but it was still worth looking into, and it was worth buying because it's offered at such a cheap price, and there's a huge collector's market for this. So I went out and I picked it up, huge box full, and we had what I eventually broke down into 8 different listings. So the first listing was a 2-pack of these figures, new in the box. There was another one, which was a mech walker. So it's like a turtle inside of like this mechanical suit, which was quite big, still in the box. There was a mini playset of Leonardo's dojo. There was another listing that was like the vehicles by themselves with like all of the accessories. There was 4 others. There was like a party van, which was complete in the box. There was a individual figure that went for a lot of money. And to be honest, we really made out like a bandit. Like when I brought this home, you know, huge box, I could see that there was like a lunch bag that was filled with the weapons. And you know, I know from experience, when it comes to like these older, I mean, they're from 2006, they're not that old. I mean, I guess that was fucking 19 years ago. But when it comes to like these action figures, if you can pair them with their original weapons, you can get a lot more money. So when I had this lunch bag full of weapons, and I had, no joke, probably 20 to 30 loose figures, I then had like the joy of matching them up, which is just Google Lens the action figure, seeing what the complete version looks like, and then trying to see if we have that weapon. We have around 20 of those individual figures. What I'm looking for, especially on Marketplace when I see a deal like this, if I just see your standard Ninja Turtle, I'm not that interested in it. I'm looking for a bit of the weird, bit of the wacky, something that isn't the norm. You know, you can buy so many just standard Ninja Turtles, but if this Ninja Turtle has like, I don't know, like a fucking clown suit on, it probably didn't sell that much, or it would have been like a limited release. I didn't manufacture as much because I didn't know how it was going to sell that. So for they're the ones that I'm interested in. So I included an image on the Flip Weekly newsletter. Of those 20, there was four that I was mostly interested in. There was one of the blue turtle wearing like a scuba gear. There was one with the red turtle wearing like skates, like skateboard shit. There was another one that looked like a villain. And then there was a fourth one, which was like this really buff lizard, I guess. I don't know what he was. He had like this shoulder pad on. He ended up being called Dark Leonardo. Now, Dark Leonardo from that loose action figure lot, I was able to pair him up with two weapons, a sword and a mace. And that was worth $150 just for that action figure. And he sold within 1 hour on Facebook Marketplace. He sold for $90 on Marketplace. It would have been $150 on eBay, but you know, if somebody comes at me with $90 on Marketplace and it's then and there, I'm like, of course I'm going to accept that. The other thing from that lot that sold was the party van. Now, that party van was inside of a box. The box was tattered, really. It was like 19 years old, severely sun damaged. The people had obviously put duct tape around the edges of it to keep it shut. But inside, the van was in great condition. That ended up selling for $150 this week. And I've put down that the individual bought prices for all of these listings is $6, just once we divide that $50 over the other listings. Now, for all of the mini individual figures that weren't worth listing up by themselves, I lotted them all together. Somebody came out and picked them up. I had them on for $50, and I got this message from a guy that was like, would you take $39? That's all my son has saved up. And of course, I said, fuck no. No, I didn't. I said, yes, of course. They came out, and I actually gave them something extra that I had that I hadn't listed yet for TMNT. So they were really grateful for that. And the total listed value for everything that I got from that TMNT bundle deal was $844. So Facebook Marketplace is still a great way to make some money. I've already made back $290 from that deal. The outlay was $50. You really can't go wrong when you're finding items like this. I mean, it did take me a solid amount of time to like match up those figures and their weapons, but I mean, I find that a bit fun, you know. It's like a puzzle, which I fucking hate, but it's a bit different because I'm counting the money every time I find a you know, I guess a puzzle piece matching with the action figure. So yeah, just a tip for you, if you see like those action figures laid out, ignore the generic ones that look like everyone would have them. Look for those the ones that just stand out a bit because they're different. They're the ones that can be worth a bit of money. Now, the next item that sold, it sold in less than 24 hours, and I'm sort of disappointed. I'll tell you why. It is the Oddworld book, the one that I got at the very beginning that I paid $5 for. I'm disappointed because I accepted a best offer, and the best offer was $450. So that book sold in less than 24 hours for $450. The reason I accepted it was because, first of all, it's hard to say no on a Friday afternoon, I think at like 3 p.m., for $450 plus postage to Italy. It's really hard to say no to that. Obviously, it's not as much as that $500 plus postage. I'm sure if I waited like maybe even another day, I would have been able to get $500. I mean, if you're spending $450 on a book, you can probably spend $500. But I was literally out at that time. I think I was even doing the post and I saw the offer come in, and I'm just thinking like, oh, this is going to make my day, my Friday afternoon, that much better if I can accept this offer and get paid $450 for a book that I spent $5 on. So I said yes, out the door, all the way over to Italy. I think they paid an insane amount of money in shipping. But yeah, fuck. What a deal, man. You can still find these gems in thrift stores. And the gems aren't behind the counter all the time. If any of the time, really. I'm wanting to find the items that are hidden in the shelves that people don't look at. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about this book. Just the art of specific, you know, video games, movies. Those books do so well, even game guides, but just know game guides aren't, you know, they're not all built the same. They vary in price. I've got game guides before that struggled to hit $30. I've got game guides before that go for, you know, hundreds of dollars. They're all different. You just need to be doing your comps. But yeah, the direct tip for this is art books. The graphic design aisles, look for these sort of things. And when you open them up, you want to see like those old school video game illustrations or Disney drawings, you know, that the art of the Lion King, I think, sells for $1,000. That's the sort of shit you want to be finding. Don't focus on video games. Even though the next I'm about to tell you is video games, there is more to life. There's more to reselling than video games. If somebody is at a garage sale and you go up to them and you say, "Got any video games?" It's probably like the 10th time they've heard that before. And, you know, if they're into video games, maybe they once bought like the game book for the game that they're playing, or they bought the art book for it. Look in the books. Anyway, the next game that I sold, it was from that bundle that happened, was it last week or the week before, where I was invited inside and I got the chance to basically forage through like all these old video games. I sold Dragon Ball Z, Budokai Tenkaichi, and Budokai Tenkaichi number 2. They sold on a best offer of $76. And by now I've made so much money from that deal, it's not even funny. Like, I don't know. Just remember, when it comes to Dragon Ball Z video games, if the subtitle or like the slogan or the second part of the name, you know, like Budokai Tenkaichi, if it's difficult to pronounce, you're probably going to want to buy them regardless of the console. Because, yeah, I think Budokai Tenkaichi 3 is the home run, where you can get like $200-ish dollars for it on PlayStation 2. I think it's a bit different on the Wii. I found it before on the Wii in a thrift store, and I still got decent money for it. So yeah, just if you see Dragon Ball Z and you have trouble pronouncing the second part of the name, that usually means that you have a winner. Now, there's a couple of other sales. I don't think I'm going to get into them at the moment. I will say that I did have a sale that was, you know, it wasn't that impressive because it was $35 into $100, but it was like one that I was really proud of, and it was the Sony Walkman cassette tape player. The reason I'm proud of it is because I did the absolute bare minimum to repair this fucking thing. I got a new belt for it. I was able to replace it myself. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a little win for me when, you know, I'm pretty much fucking useless at everything else. So the fact that I was able to open a bit of plastic and repair a rubber belt, buy a new rubber belt, I thought, you know, pat on the back, Matt. I could have got $200 for it on eBay, but somebody offered $100 on Facebook Marketplace, and I was like, you know, I'll definitely take that. Oh, one other sale that I'll talk to you about, only because there's a bit to say about it in terms of, you know, you can replicate this success, is the vintage Maisie Mouse plush. I picked this up in a Lifeline thrift store for $5. I mean, this thing's tiny. It's maybe like 20 centimeters. It's, you know, that TV show Maisie Mouse from back in the 90s. Somebody has bought the plush of Maisie Mouse for less than 60 days after I listed it for fucking $100. Now, Maisie appears to be like a good thing to find in the thrift. Like, you're going to get a ton of money if you find it in the plush. The sell-through rate's extremely strong. Like, there's sold comps for Maisie in this like $100 range, overseas, $85, $95. Look up Maisie Mouse. Oh my God, I keep saying Maisie Mouse. Look up Maisie Mouse on Google Images just to see what this thing looks like. But just know that like the value of Maisie Mouse doesn't appear to like roll over into anything else. Like the DVD or the VHS, no. The books, no. It really only applies to like this plush. Like, it only applies to the plush category for whatever reason. The one that it does sort of roll over into is like old kids' clothing. They're pretty cute, I'll admit that. But I'm not usually in the kids' like clothing section. But if you are, add that to like your memory bank, right? If you can find any sort of Maisie Mouse, you know, kids' jumper and pants, any sort of set, you're going to be able to get at least $100 or more for each set. And I looked that up, there's multiple comps for that, even as high as like $150. So just know that, keep it in your memory bank, and you'll be able to make some money with it. Now, let's get into secondhand opinions. Now, I've changed up the description of secondhand opinions because it used to be talking about controversial topics. And for the past few, it's been very, very, it's been pretty tame, right? So secondhand opinions, if you're new, it's a very simple concept. I'm just going to throw up like a reselling question. And I present my poorly thought out opinion and you usually provide your own. You can provide your opinion on the Flip Weekly newsletter, flipweekly.com, or you can write in on social media. We even have a contact form on the website for you to just, you know, say what you think about the topic. Last week, I asked you if you repair your own items. Now, I asked that just because of that cassette tape player. I wanted to brag that I fixed something, so I sort of skewed that question over into, do you guys ever fix anything? Have you guys had any success like me? And, you know, 62% of you wrote in that, yes, you're good at that stuff. So 62% of you guys are not completely useless with repairs. Now, the remaining, 38%, you guys will be joining me in getting picked last if the world ever ends and they need to pick people that can, you know, help rebuild the earth because, yeah, pretty much useless. But anyway, this week's topic, now, this week's topic might actually be a bit controversial. Maybe I should change the description of secondhand opinions back, but the topic is, what should we do about kids in thrift stores making a mess of the toy section? What should we do? Now, I'm in Savers, and there's a couple of very observant kids. They had come up to their mum, and they had, you know, enthusiastically said to her that the items on the end of the shelves are arranged by colour. And I'm thinking like, oh, yes. Yes, they are. I love it when thrift stores do that. Anyway, the mum replied, yes, I know. Now, go back to the toys. So the kids ran back and they're all unsupervised and they did what all kids do, right? They made a fucking mess. You know, there's signs up in some thrift stores saying that children should be observed. They should be looked after. But I'm noticing more and more that parents are just letting their kids treat the thrift store toys as if they're their own, right? Like, kids aren't gentle. They're ripping open like the grab bags. They're riding on anything that has wheels. They're touching everything that is like not put up high. And to be honest, most of the time when I get to like that toy section in a thrift store, it looks like a tornado has ripped through a toy shop and it's only targeted like the fucking $2 bin, right? Like, shit is everywhere. And honestly, the parents are either like at the front of the store looking at cheese boards or they're standing directly over the kid and just scrolling on their phone, right? Like, has anyone else experienced this before? Like, am I taking crazy pills? Like, a kid wanders off in any other store and the parents are freaking out, right? But apparently in a thrift store, the kids can just, you know, get into any sort of trouble. So that brings me to, you know, I'm posing the question to you. What should we do about kids in thrift stores making a mess of the toy section? You can vote in the poll. We have two options there. We have banishment and we have exile. So make your decision. What do you want to happen to those kids in thrift stores? Should they be banished or should they be exiled? You can vote. You can write in. You can leave a comment. Just let me know what you think and maybe it will happen. Now, that's all I've got for you this week. If you're listening to the pod on Spotify, please leave a rating. I think last time I checked, we have two ratings, and they may be both from me. If you're on YouTube, please like, subscribe, comment. If you're on any other streaming platform, please leave a rating. I don't know what it does, but it can't hurt. If you want to see photos of anything mentioned in this podcast, head on over to flipweekly.com and make sure you jump on over to our social media accounts and you'll see some videos that I'll be posting about items that I talked about today. So once again, thanks again for listening and I'll see you again next week.
Flip, 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 flip,